You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 21 June, shortest day, longest night. Summer is coming. More importantly, Japanese inflation for May, 2.8%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skull Glow, PSG, Old Oak, Sasol, Windfall, thank you, Transnet. But does Transnet have 6 billion? And modest Standard Bank updates. Dylan Govender, Head of Logistics at Investec for Business. How are ports doing? I mean, I know Christmas is still a way away, but truthfully, if the ports aren't working, retailers need to start making plans. And thoughts from me, how much of your investment should be local? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Transnet picks Grindrod as preferred bidder for Richards Bay Container Terminal. Grindrod is part of the consortium with DP World that runs terminals at the port of Maputo in Mozambique. Business day, Trustco slapped with punitive costs in battle with the JSE. The Supreme Court of Appeal affirms the JSE's authority to mandate the restatement of financial results to ensure compliance with international standards. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.25%, NASDAQ off 0.8%. Over in the East, mostly red, Sydney's up 0.1%, Tokyo a couple of points, 0.02% down, Hong Kong off 1.7%, Tencent down 1.9%. Commodities, mostly green, gold, 2,374, Brent, 85.54. Platinum's the red, it's down a dollar, 9.97. Palladium, 9.22. Rand, 17.96. Bitcoin, 64,800. And top 40 opening call, red open, 70 points or 0.1% to the downside.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Skulk Lowe here, of course, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning. Let's touch on Sasol first. It's essentially a long, ongoing court case. Transnet is going to appeal. My first thought was, including penalties and everything, it's what, 6 odd billion? I thought, yeah, Sasol could do with the cash. But for the 6 months to December, they did about 135 billion revenue. I suppose it's nice that they write, but not massively material. And I'm not sure Transnet has the money.
Morning, Simon. Well, there's three parties involved. I mean, you mentioned Sasol already. We've got the Transnet total we're going to exclude from this conversation. You could see the share price yesterday. I mean, Shell just thought of this as a win. I still think it's a win. Remember, Sasol's sitting with a net debt scenario of 83 billion. So, a 6.2 billion sort of, let's call it a windfall. It could definitely help that net debt levels. And it's cheap. I mean, Sasol is really, really cheap. So this is good. But as you mentioned, I mean, we need to start getting, how are you going to get the money from Transnet? I mean, Transnet, if you look at Transnet, the last full year financial set of results, I mean, they were sitting with a net loss of over 5 billion rand. They've got a net debt to EBITDA levels of 5 times. So they're sitting with crazy debt levels. So and they've got about a 20 odd billion free cash flow running. Well, so 6.2 billion to milk that out of Transnet, I think that's going to be the most difficult conversation to have. So let's see how this plans out. I mean, they're actually going to contest it. We'll see how it ends up. But for now,
Maybe they just give them one of the small ports. I don't know. Kebecha, it's yours. There we go. Sasol, go have a port. Let's move to Standard Bank. The banks have had a big week. They have been, by any metric, they have been ridiculously cheap. The GNU certainly helped some of that. The trading update from Standard Bank, it's only 5 months. They talk around headline earnings, low to mid single digits, impairments higher, currency negatively impacting numbers. I don't think this is a surprise. They've had some booming numbers, but that was kind of coming out of the pandemic. It's tough out there to be a bank.
Yeah, Simon, we had this conversation, and I love that we're right thus far. Standard Bank, I mean, from its lows in April, now already 27% higher. I mean, from the beginning, how's this? From the beginning of June, after yesterday's pullback, 18% higher for June. So this is crazy. But just to recap what we discussed, I think a few weeks ago, where we looked at, you know, the banks in general.
Yeah,
Standard Bank, you know, trading at price to book levels on that stage of just over 1x. Now they've increased to 1.3, let's call it 3-4x, but still trading quite let's call it lower, 11, it's anything between 10% and 15% lower than their 15-year average. Now, why is that important? Because they mention one thing in this trading statement where they say their ROE should be anything between 17. And 20%, and that's significant, because that's a really, really high return on equity. When you look at their 15-year average, they're sitting with a 14.9. Let's round it up, 15% ROE average for the past 15 years, with a much higher price to book. So even at current levels, you know, Standard Bank is still cheap, with some of the other banks as well. So if you ask me currently, you know, we've seen a bit of a run. Is this just a Hail Mary run? Is it just very similar to the Ramaphosa there in 2018? I don't think so. I still think that these banks, Standard Bank included, is looking cheap.
I agree 100%. I mean, Standard Bank, dividend yield, I mean, almost 7. Forward PE, 7.9. And let's be clear, the 10-year mean PE is 11.3. And to your point on price to book, I mean, the 10-year average is closer to 2. The banks are still cheap. Can the same be said for retailers? We've seen them run hard.
Yeah, we've got a problem with retailers. And the problem is sort of, you're sitting in the one spectrum, you're sitting with Pick and Pay that's really, really struggling. You know, you're about to do rights issues. So Spar, they had the issue with implementing the SAP system. On the other spectrum, you've got the likes of the ShopRites and Clicks that is trading at such high multiples, because, you know, all the smart money went from these struggling retailers to the just retailers that are still doing well. So you're asking me, do I think some retailers still at, you know, look like a value territory? I would most probably look in the area towards the clothing retailer, something like a Mr. Price. Mr. Price, I think, will benefit out of a, you know, declining interest rate. But hey, let's see.
Jen, I hold Mr. Price, so I love your idea. I think that works absolutely perfectly for me. We'll leave it there. Skull Clo, PSG Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning insights. And our question today, LinkedIn and Twitter, is about those banks. Should we be worried about the bank profits? I mean, to Skulk's point, these banks are not expensive. Yes, they have run crazy in a month, never mind since the lows. But are they still offering some value? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
When you stay invested over time in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners JP Morgan Asset Management at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Dylan Govender, Head of Logistics at Investec for Business. Dylan, appreciate to have you on the show again in an early morning. Logistics sector, we're seeing some, I suppose, some early good news as we got the announcement that Grindrod's been picked as a preferred bidder for Richards Bay Container Terminal. We've got the Pier 2 in Durban with the Philippines company. But we've also got the flip side, Cape Town Harbour, given the award of worst in the world. How is our sort of logistics sector, in particular ports, looking at this point?
Good morning, Simon, and always a pleasure to be on the show. Simon, the ports recently, you know, like you mentioned, Cape Town was ranked one of the worst ports in the country, listed 4 or 5 in terms of the World Bank Index. Mm-hmm. You know, we are seeing a bit of an improvement, but it's important to note that the World Bank report was based on 2023. We are seeing some improvement this year. I mean, recently in the last week, we've had 4 tugboats delivered to Durban port. That's when it's easing congestion in terms of bringing vessels in from outer anchorage. You know, but I think that the bigger aspect is actually the global supply chain and the turmoil that's happening in the market at the moment. With the attacks in the Red Sea, we're seeing vessels and carriers being rerouted around the Cape of Good Hope. You know, that's leading to extended transit times of about 21 days just on the Europe and the Asia trade lane. So that's causing delays coming out of Asia into the South African trade lane and just hampering imports that's getting into the country. We're seeing on average at the moment, it's taking about 10 weeks just to get goods into the country. With the congestion caused in Asia at the moment, we're looking at a four-week delay just to secure booking, get a container on board a vessel. Thereafter, you're looking at another 4 weeks getting into, in terms of the transit into South Africa. And another 2 weeks in terms of the delays at the port, you know, and that's just building up over the year. So what we're looking at the moment in terms of sales over the festive period, over your Black Friday, over the Christmas period, you know, those goods need to be getting on the water now at this stage. Otherwise, we're going to be looking at a shortage of goods on the shelf.
We certainly had, and if we think about the festive season for 2023, we had a lot of retailers saying, yeah, they got caught flat-footed with port delays. And at that point, I think the Red Sea was a bit of an issue already, but certainly a lot flat-footed. Retailers must surely, they must be kind of better prepared this time. They got caught flat-footed last year. This year, they're going to have to bring in earlier. Of course, that bringing in earlier has issues for them in terms of inventory holdings.
Yeah, definitely. I think from a working capital aspect as well, you know, at Investec, it's important we have the logistics background, we have the in-depth knowledge around it in order to provide that guidance. We're not just providing trade finance. But if you look at the 10-week delay in terms of goods on the water itself, you still have to consider the production time leads. You know, and the outlay of funds in terms of getting that production started. So you have funds that's dispersed, and it's important that you have the right partner in terms of that working capital solution. Because by the time the goods get here and you have to turn that into sales, you're looking at on average about 14 to 15 weeks. And that's why we're saying it's critical to be planning around your specials now for Black Friday and for the Christmas period.
And that, 15 weeks is a lifetime in a retail space. That is a huge period. Are we seeing, if a year ago, if we had chatted, it would have been the big story would have been the load shedding and logistics was kind of a problem we saw, but it perhaps wasn't the biggest in the world. Load shedding we haven't had it for 90 days. Maybe it comes back, but it's going to be probably stage one or two or something like that. Are there quick wins in this port/logistics space where we can see sort of a sudden pickup, or is this going to be more of a slow grind? I mentioned the Richards Bay container. I mentioned a Pier 2 in Durban. You know, those are both good signs, but my sense is they're going to take a bit of time.
Simon, like everything else, you know, any change, any level of improvement is going to take time. It's going to be a waiting game, you know, but this is not something that's just affecting SA trade. This is throughout the world. It's a global supply chain issue. We're seeing congestion building up at Singapore port, which is the second largest port in the world. You know, they handle over 3 million containers. And we're seeing a backlog build up there. So the supply chain in terms of vessels being routed, you have delays throughout the world. And coming into SA, you have further delays. But we are on a track of improvement. Like I said, with the tugboats, with load shedding, things are looking on the upside. But it is going to take time to change. I don't expect to see much improvement over the rest of the year. It's basically a waiting period until things stabilize early next year.
The logistic challenges globally, you mentioned Singapore there, is this all Red Sea related? Or there was drought in the Panama Canal. Are there other sort of larger global issues which are perhaps also going to be maybe longer term?
Simon, the way we're looking at the market at the moment, you know, the Red Sea is the fundamental cause of this. You know, it's causing carriers to route via the Cape of Good Hope, via alternative routes to bypass the Red Sea. Obviously, with the attacks, the first priority is the people on board the vessel. You have to protect them, so you're not putting them in danger. But with routing via other ports, you know, and doubling the vessel capacity, ports like Singapore, ports like the American ports, the European ports, are not used to handling the double volumes that they're currently catering for. So it's causing congestion. Singapore, for example, like we mentioned, the congestion that's building up there is because it's taking vessels 7 to 10 days to discharge now at Singapore, whereas previously it was one day, you know, just because of the additional capacity they have to handle. So this rerouting via other ports to bypass the Red Sea, it's what's causing the turmoil at the moment.
Yeah, I take your point. And it's hurting us. Some of it is our own problems, but there are global challenges in logistics there. And as soon as we seem to plug one hole, another one seems to pop up. Dylan Govender, Head of Logistics at Investec for Business, appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Thoughts from me this morning on how much of our investment portfolio should be local versus offshore. Remember, we have a lot local already. Our jobs are here. I mean, we've got South African jobs. Our houses, our vehicles are in South Africa. We can debate how much those are assets, but certainly we've got concentration. Our retirement funds are, well, at least 55% local. Although, remember that 55%, because you can take 45% offshore. So at least 55% is local, but a lot of that local would be, in truthfully, offshore assets. I mean, think Richemont, think British American Tobacco, AB InBev, Naspers Process, Tencent, Triumphant. So we have retirement funds are probably more than effectively 45%. But the key point is, we are a tiny part of the global economy, maybe 0.5%. As such, should we have be over-skewed towards such a small, and let's be honest, emerging market in the global scope of things? When I talk to Americans, they will say, they should have 60% in the US and then 40% offshore. Again, some of that 60% would, for example, be in Apple. And, well, I'm sitting here with an iPhone and a MacBook, and, I'm not American. So there's always that skewing of the lines. But I was on TV earlier in the week with Wayne McCurry, and the question came through around what should that split be, local versus offshore. And he says, you know what, 70 to 80% should be offshore. So spin it the other way, that's around 20 to 30% of your portfolio should be sitting in local. And let's focus on pure local. So if you've got Richemont in a ZAR JSE account, that's not a local investment. Yes, it's in rands, and we always need to have rands because we spend in rands. We need to match that part of the process. But it does mean sort of focusing on that SA Inc. The banks, the retailers, the small caps, we as individual investors have got capacity to go into smaller stocks than institutional fund managers have because liquidity is less of an issue for us. So it really is that pure, a proper SA Inc. And now suddenly the GNU comes along, the Government of National Unity. It's actually a coalition, but I like the phrase GNU. That's suddenly, and everything's now positive, and banks have done amazing, and retailers are shooting the lights out. And there's almost a sense of, should we revisit? In truth, our portfolio should always be that 20 to 30%. The key point, I suppose, is don't panic. Don't panic, respond, and suddenly bring dollars back and sell NVIDIA because it had a red day yesterday. And I got to say, I didn't think NVIDIA was allowed to have down days, but it turns out it does. Have a plan, execute that plan, and for pure local, SA Inc. local, around maybe 20 to 30%. That's it for today. We're chatting with Mateta Tolari yesterday around the Rand, asking him how much it could strengthen. And I've got to say, so in the intro there, I talked the Rand, it was 17.96, which was exactly what it was this time yesterday. Of course, during yesterday, the Rand went all over the place. It was 18.11 at one point. It was, I think, a dip below 17.90. We asked you what you think the Rand's going to do. Half of you said, you know what, it's impossible to know. That's probably the rightest answer. A third said 17 Rand quick enough. The rest said, nope, it's going to weaken again before we know it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6.30. 5:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday. We're going to be talking Fortress on their REIT update.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.